bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News, a plane loaded with 320 orphans from South Vietnam landed a few minutes ago in San Francisco. President and Mrs. Ford were on hand to greet them. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. It was the second of three jetliners filled with Vietnamese orphans to land in the U.S. Saturday night. The third is due to arrive later in Seattle. President and Mrs. Ford had flown to San Francisco from Palm Springs to meet the 747 jumbo jet loaded with children. The White House saying the Fords are deeply touched by the plight of the Vietnamese war victims. President Ford went aboard the plane as it landed, but Mrs. Ford had to stay behind. Officials explained Mrs. Ford could not have contact with the children because some of them have chickenpox. The First Lady is undergoing chemotherapy treatment following her cancer surgery. The drugs destroy immunity to such diseases as chickenpox. The Vietnamese children will be taken to an army hospital for examination before they are placed with their American foster parents. Some trouble aboard an American rescue ship near Vietnam. Peter Collins reports from Saigon.
Vietnamese refugees have commandeered an American merchant ship on a rescue mission off the coast of Vietnam. The ship is the freighter Greenport, carrying about 7,000 refugees it had picked up from communist-controlled areas along the central coast. The Greenport was en route to the remote island of Phu Quoc off the southwestern coast. The government has designated Phu Quoc as a safe haven for refugees and is planning to use former prison facilities on the island to care for some of them. But the refugees on the Greenport apparently did not want to go to the island and ordered the ship to turn around and head for the port of Vung Tau, about 80 miles southeast of Saigon. In a radio message, the captain of the Greenport did not say how the refugees took control of his ship or whether there were any injuries to its American crew. But it's considered likely here that at least some of the people aboard the jam-packed ship could be armed military stragglers. Peter Collins, CBS News, Saigon.
More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
This is George Herman, CBS News. In recent months, there's been growing concern over shipping U.S. arms to foreign countries and other matters of national defense. Tomorrow, on our regular Sunday broadcast of Face the Nation over most of these stations, our in-person guest will be Defense Secretary James Schlesinger, replying to the questions posed by our panel of newsmen. Listen for Face the Nation with Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger tomorrow on most of these stations of the CBS radio network.
With rebel forces continuing to move toward Cambodia's capital, American diplomats continue to leave. Mike Snatowski has a report from Phnom Penh.
Starting today, the U.S. Embassy in Phnom Penh will drastically reduce its diplomatic staff. Only a handful of American officials will stay behind, while the rest will safely monitor developments from Bangkok. According to sources, top embassy officials and the State Department jointly decided to scale down the embassy staff because of growing uncertainty over the political and military situations. In case of an emergency, the few remaining U.S. diplomats, along with a handful of American journalists and pilots, will fly out aboard Marine helicopters to the USS Okinawa, now moored in the Gulf of Siam near the seaport city of Kampong Som. Mike Fetowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
The United States is now the only country which still has diplomats in Phnom Penh. In his last will, released 2 hours following his death Saturday, President Chiang Kai-shek of Nationalist China called on his followers to complete his dream of recapturing mainland China from the communists. Chiang died of a heart attack in Taipei. He was 87 years old. Now this.
This is Ron Swoboda for Worldwide Sports. 1955 was a banner year in Brooklyn as the Dodgers, affectionately known as the Bums, repaid their fans by winning the World Series for the first time in history. 1955 was a banner year in Tuscumbia, Alabama, when WVNA went on the air to bring Tuscumbians the best in radio programming. Today, as WVNA celebrates its 20th anniversary, best wishes to manager Jim Hall and the entire staff at WVNA from all of us at the CBS Radio Network.
Why is it that blood is often in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but you're alive and well, too. And you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or other volunteer blood banks actually helps a number of people, because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. Don't wait for an emergency before you call your Red Cross blood bank.
The statute of limitations ran out Saturday on prosecution for illegal contributions to the Nixon campaign prior to April 7th of 1972. Before the new federal campaign law took effect on that date, fundraisers for the former president had raised about $20 million, much of that in illegal donations from corporations. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, AM and FM. The weather outlook, mostly sunny after night and morning fog or low clouds through Monday. The highs in the mid-50s and lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 45, 41 at the airport. The barometer rising, it reads 29.95. And taking a brief look at sports, in the NBA this evening, the Seattle Supersonics defeated Golden State by a score of 109-108. Boston over Philadelphia, 111-97. Milwaukee dumped Detroit, 119-106. And with Washington, 123. Atlanta, 115. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, presiding as usual over a vintage assortment of tales of mystery, terror, excitement, and suspense. Someday we shall simply have to rid ourselves of all the well-worn cliches that obscure our speech and corrode our thinking. And for our present purposes, we should start with the one that says, ignorance is bliss. The fact of the matter is that the truly ignorant are seldom blissful. Indeed, they are usually unhappy, suspicious, stubborn, and frustrated. True, a little bit of wisdom may be dangerous, but a great deal of ignorance is usually fatal, as we shall demonstrate.
The garden. I've never seen such flowers.
Beautiful, aren't they?
Yes, how do you grow them?
Oh, that's my secret, darling.
Oh, should there be a secret between husband and wife?
Well...
the whole neighborhood's talking. How do you grow such flowers?
You wouldn't want to know.
Tell me.
No.
I insist.
Very well. It's how you water them.
Oh? Well, how do you water them?
With blood.
Our mystery drama, The Flowers of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm Inspector Pry, miss.
Patience. Miss Patience.
According to the report, you say someone is trying to murder you.
Yes, but I was warned. A nice man knocked on the door and told me my brick chimney was about to crash through the roof over my head. Luckily, he's in the business and will repair it tomorrow.
This sounds serious.
I'll help you, Miss Patience.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Be skeptical when a man rings your doorbell and says he just happens to be passing by with his repair equipment and notices that your house needs to be worked on.
My stars! I could have been hoodwinked by a scoundrel.
It pays to be calm and exercise patience. Patience.
Just another friendly tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Those who strive to be different, who march to the rhythms of their very own drummers, and these are a breed apart. When they succeed, we hail them as geniuses. When they fail, we confine them as madmen. In either case, they remain a mystery to most of us. They are beyond the common understanding. This is because, for so many of us, the usual tendency is to play it safe. The usual advice is, don't stick your neck out. The usual goal is to be like everybody else. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. These have been articles of faith for Walter Morrison and for Gretchen, his wife.
Hello?
Darling.
Walter, where are you?
At the office. I called to tell you I'll be late for dinner tonight.
Oh, Walter.
Well, can't be helped here. Parker's in from the coast, and I can score some points if I hang around and just chat with him, okay?
All right.
Oh, we should ask Parker and his wife out to dinner.
Oh, she's really a horrible woman, Walter.
Well, sure she is, but Parker can do me a lot of good.
All right, dear.
I'll see if I can set him up. If it's, go, wear brown.
Brown?
Yes, it's your least flattering color. You shouldn't look too good. She's older than you, and she'd resent it.
Yes, dear, I understand. Is there anything else you want me to do, Walter?
No, that's about it. See you later.
Oh, just a minute.
Hello.
Yes, what is it?
I was right.
You were right about what?
About you.
Oh, look, I don't buy anything from door-to-door salesmen.
In that event, may I trouble you for a glass of water?
Water?
Actually, I'd prefer a glass of wine if you had it. I suppose it's an odd request. In this century, in this place, in this time, the concept of hospitality has ceased to exist.
Sir, I'm really very busy.
Now, consider your ancestors. They would have invited me inside with a hearty welcome, prevailed upon me to stay for supper, spend the night.
I'm really not interested.
Today, the stranger who rings the doorbell is directed to the nearest motel, if indeed the door is opened at all.
Oh, you'll have to excuse me. My telephone is ringing.
No, it isn't.
I warn you, I'll scream for help. I'll call for the police.
You simply don't know how to handle this at all, do you?
What do you want? What are you selling?
What do you need?
I already told you I don't want to buy anything.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you what you needed.
I don't need anything. Now, please just let me close the door.
Is that really true, that you don't need anything?
Yes.
You have everything your heart desires?
Yes, now please.
Love, happiness, fulfillment?
Yes, yes.
Think carefully. Don't answer quickly.
I told you, I don't want anything you're selling.
I'm not selling anything.
Well, then why did you ring my...
As I was walking by, I saw you at your window. You reminded me of someone. Someone I knew a long time ago.
I'm really not interested.
You should be. I mean you no harm.
Then what...
I saw your face. It reminded me of someone I loved once. But I can't remember her name.
Oh, please, I'm frightened.
Don't be afraid. You remind me of her. But who was she? There were so many. I must tell you, I love deeply and with all my heart. But not for long. Never for long.
Who are you?
God.
You're what?
I should say, a God.
That's
what?
Impossible.
Why?
Because everyone knows...
What everyone knows is usually nonsense. It's what you know, what I know that counts.
You say you're a god.
Remember, I can see your mind. You've decided to humor me. You believe that I'm a lunatic. You hope I'm harmless.
Why do you say you can read my mind? Isn't it natural for me to think that a person who...
My name is Dionysus.
Dionysus?
The ancient Greek god of wine and growing things.
Well, I don't care much for wine, but I wish you could help me with my garden.
You are beautiful when you smile.
Suddenly this whole thing just makes me laugh. Why do you say you're Dionysus?
Because it's true.
I'm dreaming. I must be dreaming.
What are dreams?
Dionysus. I remember I had a course at school, at college, in ancient lit. It was a long time ago. Dionysus and Apollo, yes, and Zeus and Pallas Athena.
My sisters, my brothers.
Dionysus, the god of growing things. I think I fell in love with you then.
I know.
Why have you come to me now?
Because nothing grows in your heart anymore. What is this life you lead? This dull, empty life.
Oh, I'm very happy. Walter and I, we're happy.
Gretchen, why does nothing grow in your garden?
Oh, things grow. They do.
Then why did you say you wish I could help you with your garden?
Well, because...
I know, because nothing grows with beauty, with fire. Once, in another life, you were in my garden, the garden of Dionysus.
I remember now. Yes.
And I'm sorry for the way it ended. You remember how it ended?
Yes.
It always ends badly when one of the immortal gods loves a woman of the earth. The garden. Do you remember the garden?
I remember.
You will live in that garden again.
With you.
That garden shall be in your own heart, and everything beautiful will grow from it. I have walked the world and wandered the centuries in search of you. And now I've found you again. I love you.
I love you. But will you leave me again?
Never. I will always be in your garden. My thought will always be in your heart. Come. Come, love. Let us walk in the garden.
Come in. Walter. Have a chair, my boy.
Well, thank you, sir.
Read the report, Walter. First-rate job.
Well, I appreciate that, sir.
Well, now, Walter, Carraway's resigned.
Yes, so I've been told, Mr. Baylor.
And you don't have to be told. The assistant general sales manager's job's wide open.
Well, I don't have to be told that at all, sir.
It's the jump, Walter. The big one.
Yes, I've been aiming for it these past 10 years.
Well, we just don't promote a man around here. We promote a team.
A team?
A man and his wife.
Oh, I understand that.
Glad you do. Man has to have the right kind of wife.
Yes, well, Gretchen is absolutely perfect, sir.
Good. I'd like to meet her.
Well, sir, may I invite you to our house for dinner?
Well, thank you, Walter. I accept. What did you say her name was?
Gretchen.
Sounds like a frivolous name.
Well, her real name is Margaret, sir, but you see, Gretchen is a kind of nickname.
I prefer Margaret.
Well, Mr. Baylor, I'm sure we can call her...
You see, my boy, it's just after that very unfortunate experience with Carraway's wife. Here we have a man who's assistant general manager of this company. And his wife is practically a hippie. Gets her name in the news with all kinds of unsavory and disreputable people.
Yes, I understand, sir.
You might say I'm snake-bitten. The company, we simply cannot afford
to
take...
Yes, naturally, Mr. Baylor. I can assure you that that my wife is everything the wife of an executive of this corporation should be.
I'm sure of it, my boy.
When would it be convenient for you to dine with us, Mr. Baylor?
Are you free Friday night?
Yes, of course.
Good. Friday night for dinner.
Thank you, sir.
And Walter, I think I can offer you my congratulations.
Oh, my love, don't leave me. Stay.
Margaret, are you all right?
My love, you're not going. Oh, not yet.
Margaret.
Not yet.
Margaret.
What?
Honey.
Oh. I was dreaming.
Well, this is unlike you to just nap on a couch in the living room. Are you all right?
Yes. Yes. It was only a dream. Oh, but I don't have dinner ready. I must have fallen asleep.
Well, that's all right. I'll take you out. We'll celebrate.
Celebrate what?
It's happened. Assistant General Sales Manager.
Oh, Walter.
Remember, that's what we aimed at 10 years ago? Well, today we hit the target.
Is it official?
Just about. Only one tiny detail.
And that is?
You.
Me? What
have you got to do with it? Everything.
Oh, I don't understand.
Now, listen, Margaret. Why do you think Carraway resigned?
What did you call me?
Margaret.
My name is Gretchen.
Well, yes, perhaps, but Gretchen comes from Margaret.
Oh, I don't like Margaret. That's why I call myself Gretchen.
Well, Margaret suits you better, dear. It's more mature, more dignified.
I don't think so.
Well, Mr. Baylor does.
Well, why should my name be any of Mr. Baylor's business?
Darling, before we get sidetracked, I asked if you knew why Carraway resigned.
What does Mr. Baylor have against my name?
Carraway didn't jump, darling. He was pushed. His wife didn't fit in.
What does that mean?
Evidently, a man's wife has to fit a certain image in this corporation.
Well, I was never involved in any of your business things before.
Yes, I know, but now it'll be different.
Why did you say Mrs. Carraway didn't fit in?
Well, she wasn't too careful about what she said.
Why? What did she say?
Well, you met her. She's the type who says a lot of kooky, oddball things.
All I know is that she said to me she couldn't take this rat race seriously.
Well, a corporation is supposed to be your life. You just can't say things like that in front of people like Mr. Baylor.
Well, do I have to meet Mr. Baylor?
Darling, what's gotten into you?
Walter, is the company your life?
Well, of course it is. It's always been. It's my career. It's our living. Now, that should answer that question. Are you going to meet Mr. Baylor here Friday night? He's coming to dinner.
Did you have to invite him?
He wanted to look you over here in your own city.
Why?
Well, to determine whether you'd be an asset to the company.
I see.
Darling, what has gotten into you? Why all these questions?
I'm sorry. I had this dream.
About what?
I can't seem to remember.
All right, forget it. Come on, let's go out to dinner right now.
Okay. And, Walter, you're Mr. Baylor, I promise you, he'll be proud of me.
Darling, I know that. Now, where would you like to eat?
Oh, anywhere.
Just remember, we can now afford the very best.
Walter, look. Look.
What? What is that?
The garden.
What about the garden?
Look at the flowers.
Well, where did you get those flowers? They weren't here this morning.
Look at those colors. Did you ever see such colors?
Yes, red, such brilliant red. Roses and carnations and... I've never seen such beautiful flowers.
The garden. Our garden. His and mine.
What did you say?
It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a dream.
Well, where are we? We have a quiet, rather shy, and self-effacing middle-class suburban housewife, just this side of 40. A stranger rings her bell, announces he is an ancient Greek god, Dionysus, and that he wants to be her lover once again. Notice that again. Well, it has to be a dream, you say. Sure. But how about the sudden blooming of that lush, brilliant, beautiful garden? How about it? Further growth must await my return in just a few minutes with Act Two.
Hello, I'm Burl Ives, and I bet I know something about you. You like to surprise your family with exciting side dishes. And Uncle Ben's has two great rice dishes you sure ought to try. First, there's Uncle Ben's rice and gravy, a five-minute rice that comes with a packet of rich brown or chicken-flavored gravy. It's delicious. And you'll never again have to serve rice without gravy or gravy without rice. Then there's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted bran rice, wild rice, herbs, and seasoning. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because there are no compromises in quality. These days, that's kind of rare. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So try Uncle Ben's rice and gravy and Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice.
Radio. It's been doing nice things for you for years. It wakes you up. It keeps you company in your car. It fills your life with music. It fills your mind with ideas. It informs, entertains. And radio does something else. It sells. Quickly, easily, creatively, efficiently. Consider that last word, efficiently. As a businessman, you know how all costs, including advertising, have been skyrocketing. You know what adflation means. A major advertising agency has just reported that line rates for the largest metropolitan dailies in the top 50 markets rose 12% over the past year. But what about radio? The same study revealed the cost for buying radio in the top 50 markets increased only 3%. What else can you buy today that only costs 3% more than it did a year ago? Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Is this how it was in the ancient days? Did the gods appear in dreams? All the loves we read about between the immortals and their human subjects, were these all dreams? Visions? Well, we don't know. We present only the facts in the case. And the basic fact in this case seems to be that suddenly the garden of Gretchen Morrison is a lush, luxuriant riot of color after she had dreamed that she had a love affair with the ancient god Dionysus. Well, people have had even more extravagant dreams, from what I've heard.
It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a dream.
What do you say?
I... Oh, nothing.
Darling, how did you ever get all those flowers to... I'd say it's miraculous.
Hi there, Gretchen. Walt.
Oh, hello. Hello, Porter. How's the golf?
Hey, what have you folks done here?
Well, you know, Margaret, she just putters around in the garden.
Margaret? Who's Margaret?
Oh, that's my nickname for Gretchen.
What have you done to your garden, Gretchen?
Nothing.
Oh, come on, Gretchen. I'm willing to abdicate gracefully. June and I consider ourselves the garden people in this neighborhood.
Well, Porter,
And quite frankly, Gretchen, we never saw you as a threat. What I mean is, you did have a few respectable-looking plants.
Yes, isn't it fantastic, Porter?
Is it a fertilizer, a new kind of food?
Now, dear, don't give away your secrets.
Oh, come on, Gretchen, we've always been good friends.
Well, they just grew, that's all.
Oh, very shrewd, and I don't blame you. Every one of them is a sure winner at the Garden Club show next month.
Well, just think, Porter, this will be the first year you're not going
to
win.
I'll get to the bottom of this somehow.
Yeah, well, good night, Porter.
Night.
Margaret. Margaret, how did you raise those flowers?
How? Oh, I suppose you could call these the fruits of love.
Margaret! Margaret! Oh, there you are. Didn't you hear me call you?
You were calling Margaret.
Now, look, dear, it's only for Mr. Baylor's sake.
My name is Gretchen.
Well, all right, we'll just go along with it for tomorrow night. Now, what are you doing out here?
I'm sitting among my flowers.
Well, shouldn't we be inside with dinner?
I was just listening.
Listening to what?
To what they were saying.
To what? Who's saying?
My flowers.
Your flowers? They can't say anything.
Oh, that isn't true, Walter. They're speaking now.
Well, I don't hear anything.
You don't hear flowers. You see them. Each color has a meaning.
Now, Gretchen.
That rose bush just in front of you. It isn't the same shade of red all the time. From instant to instant, it darkens and then lightens as the flowers feel and think.
Margaret, quit this nonsense.
Walter, it isn't nonsense.
Yes, it is. Now, dear, I know you're under a strain.
But I'm not.
Yes, you are. And I was thinking about it. Now, tomorrow night is the most important night in our lives.
It is? Why?
Why? Oh, my God.
Which one?
Please listen. Now, you and I, we've worked for this. We have 10 years invested in tomorrow night.
Oh, please, Walter, you mustn't excite yourself like that.
Tomorrow night, we cross the great divide.
The what?
That line that separates the successes from the also-rans. Tomorrow night, a door will open for us, and we step into the executive suite.
Oh?
Yes, oh. And that door will be opened by Frederick Tower Baylor, or it won't be open.
Darling, I'm sure...
It all depends on you. Now, here's what you have to do. I got this list from Mr. Baylor's secretary this afternoon.
Walter, dear. I was in the midst
In the midst of what?
I was talking to these flowers, and now I think your anger has frightened them.
Margaret? I mean, Gretchen.
Yes?
Gretchen, you don't feel well.
Oh, no, I feel wonderful.
I've never seen you so...
So what?
Well, you're usually so sensible.
I've never been as sensible as I am at this very moment. All my senses are alive and free.
Do you think... Should you see a doctor?
Why?
Because you're not well.
That isn't true.
Gretchen, what's wrong?
Nothing is wrong. Even if I were ill, which I'm not, what would a doctor do? Prescribe a pill? And what would the pill be made of? From the essences of the very plants and flowers and growing things right here in my very own garden. So you see... All I need to do is just stay here.
Now, will you look at this list? Mr. Baylor is a steak and potatoes man.
Is he?
Dinner should be no problem. Just the steak, French fries, a salad, and ice cream. And he likes the steak rare.
Rare?
Yes, practically raw, with the blood just about dripping from it.
He's very close to the primitive, isn't he, your Mr. Baylor?
Now, look, let's not even joke about it, all right? And furthermore, he isn't my Mr. Baylor. He's our Mr. Baylor. It's our future.
My dear... I shall not disgrace
you. These past few days, I can't follow things around here. It's these flowers and this garden.
Yes?
And the way you've been talking.
Which way is that?
I don't know, but it isn't your usual way. You're not the same person.
Oh, but I am.
Oh, no. There's something very different about you. No, please, dear. On this tremendously important night, don't do anything that would spoil
anything. Walter, I don't like the look on your face.
What are you talking
that
about?
That look. No human being should appear that troubled.
Well, it's important. How many times do I have to remind you?
Nothing in this life should be that important. You look as if you... As if you could kill somebody.
Well, maybe I could. After all, if you're out to make it in this company, you have to be a killer.
Walt!
I don't mean you have to commit murder exactly, but you have to step on people and, if necessary, destroy them. Eliminate them as rivals.
Well, that's committing a kind of murder.
Now, look, why are we standing around here and talking about it?
Have you destroyed many people on your way, Walter?
Now, what kind of a question is that?
Have you?
I suppose I sidelined a few in my time.
Walt!
Well, it was them or me. Now, come on, this whole conversation is out of place. Now, about tomorrow night...
Walter, my dear, I shall not disgrace you.
Margaret, we're here.
Well, Walter, it's a nice-looking place you have here. Yes, indeed. The little woman is certainly a lady of good taste.
Oh, thank you.
Well... Good evening.
Dear, I would like to present Mr. Baylor, who is Executive Vice President.
How do you do, Mr. Baylor?
Hello.
Do you like my gown? It was worn by the ancient Greek women, especially on festive occasions.
But did you prepare a pitcher of martinis, darling?
No, my dear. We shall have wine later.
Wine?
Oh, yes. Wine made with honey. The ancients called it mead. It's delicious.
Well, yes, but darling...
And we shall have a most wonderful supper. A meal that would be enjoyed by the gods themselves. Goat's milk and cheese. Bread and fruits. And dates and nuts.
But darling, I told you that Mr. Baylor...
But that will come later. First, I have prepared a bath. For Mr. Baylor.
You what?
Dear.
Well,
dear.
You bathe, don't you, Mr. Baylor?
Well, I...
One must separate himself from the cares of the day before one can enjoy the delights of the evening. And so you must wash away.
I don't believe this.
Now, Mr.
Baylor, we'll use the main bath, and Walter, dear, yours is waiting for you in the guest room. And now, if you'll excuse me for just a moment, I shall make sure your bath water is properly scented. The pitcher of goat's milk is there, on the sideboard. It's ice cold and delicious.
Walter.
Sir, I really don't know what to say.
Is this your idea of a joke?
Now, Mr. Baylor, please believe me.
Because if it is, I'm not amused.
Mr. Baylor, I really don't know what to say.
That ridiculous costume and goat's milk and cheese.
Well, there must be some mistake. I'll straighten it out.
Well, this is exactly what I have to guard against. I thought Carraway was married to a cook, but yours...
Well, I'm sorry, sir.
Well, you should be.
Mr. Baylor, where are you going?
Where do you think I'm going? Home.
But don't you see she's been ill? Yes, that's it. She hasn't been feeling well lately, sir.
Really? You'd never know it to look at her. Good night.
Now, Mr. Baylor.
Well, whatever became of Mr. Baylor?
Whatever became of Mr. Baylor? Do you mean you have to ask?
Where did he go? His bath is ready.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Have some milk. Here, drink it. You'll feel much better. Walter, why did you do that?
Margaret, do you know what you did to me?
I don't like that
name. Do you know what you did to me? You destroyed me. Now, please tell me why. Why? Why did you destroy me?
But I didn't.
Tell me why. We've been married 15 years. I thought we loved each other. I don't know of any reason you would have to hate me. Now, why? Why did you suddenly destroy me?
How many marriages are there like this? A man works hard with a single-minded dedication to getting ahead in his company. His wife sits at home, gardens, does some club work. But mainly and mostly, she waits for him. The big thing in their lives is the job, the career, the company. I suppose the answer is there are many marriages like this. Even the best of machinery breaks under stress, and human beings are not the most perfect machines. We'll see what repairs, if any, can be effected when I shall return with Act 3.
inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
You feel like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk, Buick's sleek, low-slung 2+2 road machine. Its streamlined nose thrust rakishly ahead, its spirited V6 engine supplying the motion. All of a sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk, catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all.
It should be a time of harvest, but all too often in these days of high prices and fixed incomes, when city life can be overwhelming and when everything's moving faster, just when you feel like moving slower, it's painful to grow old. And most everybody does, you know. That's why Red Cross has so many programs to help the elderly. Red Cross volunteers, for instance, drive senior citizens to the doctors or Social Security. Our youngsters help in senior citizen centers.
Mrs. Martin, can I get you another cup of tea?
In many areas, Red Cross volunteers work in Meals on Wheels programs for older people. In fact, whatever the problem, your local Red Cross is there to help. If you need help, call us. If you can give help, call us. Either way, we need you. Because it's a cold world out there.
There's a man who shares your bed, your board, just as you share his. You share a bank account, automobiles, a house, a boat, a place in the community. And then one day it becomes clear to you that you don't, well, you don't share each other. That is, you share things, but you really don't know each other. As a matter of fact, you're strangers. You've been married for 15 years, and you're strangers.
I don't want to discuss what happened here this evening.
But what did happen?
You deliberately ruined whatever chance I had to become assistant general sales manager.
Well, if you have the ability, how could I have ruined your chance?
Because in this company, ability isn't everything.
Well, then in that case, quit and take a job in an outfit where it is.
Well, you just don't understand. And I don't have time to explain it, but you're ill.
No, I've never felt better.
What you did tonight, was that the action of a rational woman?
I think so.
Would you do something for me? See a doctor.
Why?
Oh, Margaret.
See, that's what's wrong with me. You call me Margaret.
Well, that's just for Mr. Baylor's benefit.
Well, he isn't here now. And why should I give up my identity for the sake of your boss? Isn't it bad enough that you gave up yours?
Margaret, what's gotten into you all of a sudden? Now, you never spoke this way before. You were always so reasonable, so cooperative. Now, what is it?
Oh, poor Walter.
Don't take that tone with me. Now, Mark, Gretchen, listen, will you help me?
I'm trying to help you. Come on, let's walk in the garden.
Oh, Gretchen.
Let's enjoy the beautiful growing things.
Gretchen, I want you to see a doctor.
No.
Please, please, do it for me. There is something wrong with you. Are you aware of the things you said to Mr. Baylor? Darling, we live according to certain rules.
I know. And I don't like those rules anymore.
Gretchen. Gretchen, you're different. And I'm scared. Now, just see a doctor, huh? And...
But I told you, Walter, there's nothing wrong with me.
Well, just let me hear the doctor say so. And I promise you, I'll abide by his decision. Mr. Baylor?
Yes?
May I come in, sir?
I'm busy.
This won't take a moment. Mr. Baylor, I want you to give me another chance.
I think the matter is closed, Walter.
Now, you know I'm the best qualified man in the company.
Not in all respects, Walter. I'm sorry.
She was ill.
I'm sorry to hear that.
She's being treated for it.
I said I was sorry.
You know, this business we're in, it isn't easy and it takes its toll.
That's why it takes a special kind of man who has the support of a special kind of wife.
Well, she's worked hard. And she's tried hard all these years with me, and I guess the strain was just too much.
Walter, I don't think I can see my way clear.
Please, sir, let's give her another chance. Better that this thing should happen now rather than later. We can nip it in the bud. She'll be all right, I promise.
Well...
In a few weeks, she'll be just fine. You'll see.
Well, I'll think about it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And he said his name was Dionysus?
Yes, Dr. Marks. And don't tell me he didn't appear.
If you say he was there for you. Why should the name Dionysus occur to you? Where did you ever hear it before?
Well, I suppose in college, in the study of mythology. And that was years ago. I never even thought of it.
But you absorbed it. And you now have the classic conflict between Apollo, who represents duty, and Dionysus, who is desire.
But I never...
All people face this battle. In some, it rages with more fire. In some, the flames are banked. But in no one is it ever dormant.
But the garden, the flowers and plants, and the growing things, how do you account for them?
There's a reasonable, rational explanation. A sudden coming together in one spot of wind, water, soil.
But this garden, he said, and I know, it's the fruit of love. Our love. I sit there among the blossoms and I know he's with me. He's talking to me.
My dear Gretchen, you will learn better in the winter.
What about the winter?
In the winter, the garden will die. And so will this dream.
Yes. Yes, my love. Yes, I hear you. Yes, I see you.
Gretchen! Gretchen!
What? Oh, Porter, you startled me.
Oh, is this your secret? Do you talk to your flowers?
Of course.
I just can't understand this garden. It grows more beautiful every day.
Yes.
Come on now, Gretchen. What's the secret?
It's a garden of love.
For sure, but how does it work?
It's the love of two people.
Okay, I won't ask. I'm satisfied just to enjoy it. I do have a confession to make. I was so wild with envy that I came in here the other night and I stole a small rose bush.
But you could have asked me for it.
I planted it in my garden and the next morning it was dead.
Oh?
I was careful. I handled it gently. I watered it and fed it. But it died. It withered completely, as if it had died a long time ago.
Perhaps it did.
Gretchen, what's come over you? You seem so different, so...
Yes?
Well, you always struck me as a I'll say it, a very quiet little person. And now you glow all over.
I feel there's a glow inside me.
Ah, Gretchen, it's beautiful. But I see now it's an awful beauty. It's a frightening beauty.
Fear and terror. It's all part of beauty.
Those crimson flowers, that red, it's like the red of blood. These flowers, they look as if they're being nourished with blood.
They are, Porter. They are. How did you know?
How did I know? Well, good night, Gretchen. Good night.
Hello?
Gretchen, it's 4:00. I called to check.
On what, Walter?
To make sure you were at the doctor's.
Oh.
Well, you have an appointment, did you forget?
No.
Then what are you doing at home?
I don't care to go.
Now, what are you saying?
Well, why should I go? I'm not the one who's sick.
Mr. Baylor is... is giving us another chance.
Oh, Mr. Baylor, what an unfortunate man. He should spend more time with growing things. Bring him home with you tonight.
I'm on my way right now, this minute. Now, don't you go anywhere.
Why, Walter, where would I go? Drink this, Walter. You'll feel better.
Darling, I spoke to Dr. Morris. There is something wrong with you. Now, why don't you help yourself?
There's nothing wrong, dear.
How can you say there's nothing...
I feel alive, Walter. All of me, every part of me. Come to the garden with me, Walter. You live, you love, like a god.
Yeah, something's come over you. Don't ask me what, but a week ago, something happened.
Yes, something happened.
You changed. Well, I can hardly believe you're Gretchen, my wife.
I'm Gretchen.
You had sense. You had a knowledge of life. Well, you and I, we worked together toward a goal.
Yes, dear. But I found a better goal.
You did? What?
Love.
Love?
That was the secret. The secret of the ancient gods.
Now, Gretchen, I'm going to drag you to the doctor.
Oh, if you must fight, fight like a man with your hands. I despise you.
Now, what has happened? You can't just suddenly tear down our life. What's wrong with what I'm doing? Why shouldn't I work for the Baylor Corporation?
Because it's a house for slaves.
Well, it's my job. We agreed. You never objected. It bought us this house and the cars.
And turned us into fawning, simpering, terrified slaves.
Okay, okay. Everybody in the world is a slave to something. That's what life is. You give to get.
Yes. Everyone is a slave. But I have been freed.
What do you mean freed? By whom?
By my lover.
What lover?
He's in the garden.
Now, Gretchen. Gretchen, you come back here.
If you want me, fight for me. Fight him for me. Oh, love. Oh, love, stay with me. Don't let anyone keep us apart.
Gretchen, who are you talking to?
My lover. Don't you see him?
You mean there's another guy? Someone else?
Someone else who gives me what I need.
Who?
He's a god.
Who is he?
I told
who?
You.
Who? I'll choke it out of you.
He's a god.
Who is the guy?
Walter! You're joking me.
Who? Who's the guy?
You're joking
who?
Me. Walter. Walter.
Who? Who?
Please, bury me here. In my garden.
Gretchen.
Oh, please. It's dark. And no one will know. Oh,
please.
Hello, Walter. Just dropped by to see if there was any news of Gretchen.
No.
Well, keep your chin up, fella. Maybe she'll come back.
Yes, I hope so.
Did you two have a fight?
Well, it was more of a misunderstanding.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you notified anyone?
Well, I reported it to the police, but... and Dr. Marks said that she must have wandered off.
Funny. Funny how the garden, that beautiful garden just... withered without her.
Yeah.
She was right. She said it was the fruit of love. Without her love, it just...
Yeah.
Well, I just don't want to take up too much more of your time.
No, it's all right.
I wish I could figure out why those luxuriant plants grew so suddenly, and just as suddenly they died.
Well, you know what Dr. Mark said. Sudden coming together of sun and rain. Soil, water.
Yeah, that's right. She's an inscrutable gal, that Mother Nature.
Yes. We'll never know.
I guess not.
Well, this is a good chance for me to say goodbye. I'm off on a trip.
Oh?
Yes, I made general sales manager.
Oh.
Finally, yes. Poor Gretchen. Came too late for her. How she wanted it, how she would have enjoyed it. Well, say goodbye to June for me, huh?
Okay, Walter, I will. Walter, is it my imagination?
What?
The garden.
What about it?
those plants.
They're dead?
Walter, that color, that crimson color, that the scarlet color. Look.
Why, that looks... That's blood. Blood.
Oh, you're crazy. It's just color.
Am I? But just look, blood on all the withered blossoms. Fresh, bright blood all over the garden. Gretchen.
What do you mean, Gretchen?
It can't be her blood. It can't be.
Well, whoever said it was.
It can't be because there was no blood.
What do you mean there was no blood?
When I killed her, there was no blood. She fell. She fell, you see? And she struck her head hard against the tree, but there was no blood.
Walter, do you know what you're saying?
I can prove it. Dig her up, you'll see. There is no blood. No blood.
Well, there was some in the garden, in the beautiful garden of Gretchen and Dionysus. And the garden is no unusual garden, for all flowers have something in them of the one who plants them and watches and waters and nurses and loves them. I'll be back shortly.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
Asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. They even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
The struggle, the never-ending struggle between Apollo and Dionysus, between duty and pleasure, between what we want and what we must settle for, is fought inside each of us. And sometimes it's Apollo who conquers, and sometimes Dionysus. Happy, however, is he or she where neither has conquered, but where both spirits can live side by side in peace and quiet. But too much quiet gets boring after a bit, so make sure we disturb yours tomorrow. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Larry Haynes, Robert Maxwell, and Gil Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Don't bug me, Louise.
What are you doing? Trying to empty the bottle?
Maybe I have a reason. I might catch up with you.
Why, you're shaking, Jim. What is it, Jim? What's the matter?
I was followed. Somebody followed me all the way home.
I've asked you not to walk the streets alone at night. Who was it? What did he look like?
I don't know who it was. All I could hear was the footsteps. Just the shadow of a beat behind mine. As though whoever it was trying to fit their feet into my footprints. Every time I stopped, they stopped. And when I turned around, there was nobody there. Nobody at all.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. Thank you.
News is next on KIXI Seattle. The weather outlook for the KIXI listening area, mostly sunny after night and morning fog or low clouds through Monday. The highs, the mid-50s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 44 degrees, 40.
News. President and Mrs. Ford flew to San Francisco late Saturday night to meet a plane arriving from Vietnam with war orphans. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. To underscore their concern over the plight of Vietnam War refugees, the Fords flew from Palm Springs to San Francisco, where some 320 Vietnamese orphans arrived to get new homes in America. The president went aboard the plane to greet the children. It was one of three planes arriving on the West Coast with Vietnamese orphans. The chairman of a House subcommittee on immigration says the U.S. government has blundered into the Vietnam orphan evacuation with no direction, leadership, or coordination. Congressman Joshua Eilberg of Pennsylvania has called a meeting of his panel for Tuesday to discuss the situation. The Agency for International Development has been swamped with phone calls in recent days from Americans who want to adopt Vietnamese orphans, but agency officials say there are no more children available for adoption, at least not at this time. More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
This is George Herman, CBS News. In recent months, there's been growing concern over shipping U.S. arms to foreign countries and other matters of national defense. Tomorrow, on our regular Sunday broadcast of Face the Nation over most of these stations, our in-person guest will be Defense Secretary James Schlesinger, replying to the questions posed by our panel of newsmen. Listen for Face the Nation with Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger tomorrow on most of these stations of the CBS radio network.
President Ford held a meeting Saturday at Palm Springs with Secretary of State Kissinger to discuss Vietnam. Kissinger later told reporters the president will be given a list of options for U.S. action from the CIA, the Pentagon, and the State Department. The president is to announce a decision Thursday in a foreign policy speech to Congress. In his meeting with newsmen, Kissinger said discussions in America about what is happening in Vietnam should not be undertaken with anyone pointing a finger of blame.
We should conduct this debate not with an attitude of who is going to pin the blame on whom, but with an attitude that we are facing a great tragedy in which there is some involved, something of American credibility, something of American honor, something of how we are perceived by other people in the world, on which serious people may have different questions, but in which, for God's sake, we ought to stop talking as if one side had had the monopoly of wisdom, morality, and insight, and that serious people trying to deal with this problem are trying to run a confidence game.
Kissinger also said he thinks the South Vietnamese still have a chance to save their country from a complete communist takeover. Vice President C.K. Yen has been sworn in as the new president of Nationalist China following the death Saturday of Chiang Kai-shek, who ruled non-communist China for a quarter century. Chiang died of a heart attack at the age of 87. Among those who remembers him is Anna Chenault, widow of the World War II Flying Tiger hero.
He was always willing to listen to the others, and he was proud because he was very strong on his own convictions. Some people not necessarily always agree with him, but I think that what he had done with the Free Chinese in Taiwan was a very outstanding performance.
Also remembering Chiang Kai-shek was President Ford, who termed the nationalist Chinese leader a man of firm integrity, high courage, and deep political conviction. Former Hawaii Governor John Burns died Saturday at his home in Honolulu, apparently from cancer. He was 66 years old. As a territorial delegate to Congress, Burns helped push for Hawaii's admission into the Union in 1959. Now this.
This is Ron Swoboda for Worldwide Sports. 1955 was a banner year in Brooklyn as the Dodgers, affectionately known as the Bums, repaid their fans by winning the World Series for the first time in history. 1955 was a banner year in Tuscumbia, Alabama, when WVNA went on the air to bring Tuscumbians the best in radio programming. Today, as WVNA celebrates its 20th anniversary, best wishes to manager Jim Hall and the entire staff at WVNA from all of us at the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, psst, want to save some money? Who doesn't? Go down to the Internal Revenue Service. Very funny. No, honest. They're giving away more than 80 free publications, many on how to save money on your income tax.
But my problems are only starting. I just bought a house.
Tell them to give you IRS Publication 530, tax information on deductions for homeowners.
Swell. But why are we whispering?
I've got laryngitis.
An unusual phenomenon of nature Saturday off the coast of Florida, thousands of bluefish went on a feeding frenzy off South Miami Beach, attacking swimmers. Officials said three surfers were injured. One official said the bluefish hit everything in the water. The fish are about 2 feet long, and they have razor-sharp teeth. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time is 6 minutes past 11.